You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know, you've got people from pastors to regular CEOs to regular garbage collectors who are addicted to pornography. What's going to happen to these guys? And it is a real bad thing that this internet has introduced people to. Then you've got, I came from a 12-step program last night, all-men motorcycle group down in Port St. Lucie. I love these guys. All of them, the ones who spoke last night, about five different ones, they all, the word broken came out. These are guys, I mean, guy gets up in front of everyone and says, I was not a good person. And had to be brought down to his knees by an addiction to alcohol.
Crucified with
calls
Christ.
Out to God, and now their lives. And these are big tough guys who, if you'd met before they had this conversion, these would be nasty guys that lived for themselves and used people and beat up people. And now here they are, little baby lambs. You know, I was wrong and good. And the Bible says, a broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering candle he will not snuff out. So it's like all of a sudden, you know, hey, you know, Rhett, you were a real jerk. You know, maybe you mistreated people, you're arrogant, whatever my personal sin is. And he goes, but I come to him, and he goes, okay, I'm not even going to remember that other stuff. You know, you're broken, you're contrite. I mean, God is a very loving God. But where does his love begin and end? Because if I wish for Hitler to go to hell, then God could say, well, then, Rhett, I'm not going to forgive you your sins, because as you forgive,
wish that he goes to hell.
As you forgive, so shall ye be forgiven.
That's the way he lived.
You have a church,
life.
Right? You have a church. Okay, so let's go up to your church. And I've known people who've done this. I know this lady. So they're passing around the bucket. Okay, on Sunday. She was a Catholic. She'd go up and take the money. She'd take a few $100 to buy her drugs. Now, so she's later fell to the bottom, had her bottom, lived, ended up living in a little, what do you call it, a tool shed. And anyway, somehow got saved, and now it works a regular job, and I guess whatever she's done to make amends and make those things better. But, you know, I just wonder, you know. I just wonder what happens
to
people.
Well, again, it's not us judging. We the problem today is that the church— universal church in America is not standing on the truth of God's word. We have decided as the church to skirt around the truth of his word. We have chosen to water down many scripture in order to seem like we are more inclusive or affirming in their sin. And Jesus never did that. He didn't affirm anyone's sin. He spoke truth to the sin.
Gently, though, the nicely. He didn't go around judging.
Only time flipping tables.
No, everybody wants to point that. That was one time. It was one time, and it was not to
individuals. And you've read Revelation, too.
But it's not to individuals. When it came to the lady at the well, he was forgiving. When it came to the adulteress, he was forgiving. When it came to the, you know, go and sin no more. So,
The young man, you know, with the story of the prodigal, and then the one where the Samaritan, you know, which one's, who's my neighbor?
And he also said, now, get this.
And now, you said,
now you can't earn your salvation, right? Well, why does he say here, hey, you know, we did signs and wonders in your name. We delivered demons in your name. We did this in your name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. To others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison. And they're going to go, who are you? We don't remember you. You didn't even know him. Who are you, Jesus? When you did it to the least of these, mine brethren, you did it unto me, for your reward is great. So what I am saying is God is much more impressed with love than he is with obedience.
Well, then that contradicts your other statement that you were talking about, Paul, right?
I know.
Broken and contrite spirit.
I don't know. I mean, why does he say to those people?
Well, isn't every should
I picture a Jewish guy, Mr. Bernstein, Shabbat, I never knew you, Jesus. Who are you? He said, Mr. Bernstein, do you remember when you fed those people that were hungry, clothed, and naked? When you visited those people in prison? When you did that, you did it unto me. Come on in. Now, he doesn't know Jesus, but will he know Jesus? You know, we can't put God in a box, but at the same time, I know that me as an insecure human being, I sure like to know that there's boundaries.
Well, his word's the boundary. His word, his truth is boundary.
Okay,
he is love. God just doesn't do loving things. His very essence is love.
What happened when those men wanted to sleep with the angels? They didn't even want the women back in when Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt. I mean, that's Sodom, which hence Gomorrah, today the word sodomy. And you could say the Old Testament says if a woman lays with a woman, kill them both. But then again, it also says if a child talks back, you can stone the child to death. So, I mean, we're in a new enlightened area, supposedly. In the Old Testament, you could get a divorce by saying thrice. You say three times, Moses said, I'm divorcing you, you're divorced. Yeah. And as a woman, that means she loses her covering. That was devastating news. I mean, you're less than a dog in society back then. So anyway, it's just all how we can figure out God, I don't know. I don't know where it begins and ends.
Right.
And so I tend to think once you've been, he said to the ones the Father gives me, I will never lose. Right? Remember he said that? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a bank robber. I'm a bank robber. I'm in jail 12 years. I know of a guy like this.
Yep.
He says Jesus walks into the room. And he gets born again.
Right.
He said, just like you're standing here, Jesus walked into my cell. Okay.
Right.
So years later, the only thing is I can't really tell a story like this because I can't think of one where, let's say he went back to robbing banks.
Right.
It doesn't usually happen. I mean, I know that I was cured of swearing. Within a few months, I went, oh, my word, I don't swear anymore.
Right.
Now, a couple of years later, I started thinking about swearing if I get angry. And then a couple of years later, I went, well, dang it, I'm going to swear. And then I swear, but that was by commission instead of by omission. Yeah. And once in a while, I'll still accidentally swear. It's been cut off lately because he's helped me again. But what about that I went backwards? What about the fact that, what about somebody who, what about the pastor? What about Calvary Chapel down in South Florida? I had that guy on my show.
Yeah.
And he went out, and this guy was on fire for the Lord and left with a secretary.
You can do Christian things and not be a Christian. We found that out.
Well, no, I think this pastor was a Christian.
But again, it goes back to sourcing. What's sourcing you? The Holy Spirit sourcing you to do what you do, or are you self-sourced? That's basically how we live our lives, self-sourced or spirit-sourced. And that's what we're going to celebrate on Pentecost again, this whole idea that I could live in this flow, this vine-in-the-branch mentality, that Jesus can run wild in my life. All I have to do, you're going to read that book, Practice the Presence of God, and all I'm doing all day long is surrendering to Him. He's in control. He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. So can I be loving and yet and be disobedient, not be obedient? What was the other word you used? I think he said obedience, right? Obedience and love. So, and it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Isn't that not obedience to?
Okay. So, were you? How many children did your mom and dad have?
Just myself and my sister.
Okay. So, are your parents still alive or no?
My mom is.
Okay. Do you love her a lot?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But Jesus said, "He who loves his mother, wife, or children before me is not worthy of
right.
me." Right now. I have had to face that because a few years ago, I would meet you. Nice to meet you, but you're not part of my inner circle. My mom, my dad, my brother, my gal, this is the inner circle. You're there, but you're not in my inner circle. Now, they're all dead, and I'm left here like a vagabond running the streets.
Right.
Not that I never was a vagabond, but I mean in my heart, a stranger in a strange land, going, my God, now I have to take in and I have to have people of my own flesh. And so I've thought about these things. You know, it says the blood is thicker than water. People think that means that your relatives are closer than God. No. That saying comes from the fact that the blood is thicker than water. It means the water is the water of the womb. You're born. Yeah. Let's say you were my brother. I had a brother. He drowned on 911. But I had my brother. He was my physiological brother. Well, he's above you. No. Actually, according to what I've studied, you're more my brother than my brother was my brother if you're my brother in the Lord.
In Christ, yeah.
Because blood, the blood of Jesus, which is the DNA.
Yeah.
This is why they want to attack our blood now. They've got the conspiracy theorists are talking about, you know, they're doing things to put stuff in meat. So if we eat the meat, it gets into us. It changes our DNA.
Right.
Have you heard about that stuff? I don't know. That might have bunched. It might be ludicrous.
No. But, I've heard that. I've also heard that they're going to try to pass something where anybody who has gotten the vaccine will not be able to give blood. So now those who have not received the vaccine are going to now be considered purebloods. How's that going to work? They're going to come after you for your blood if you didn't get a vaccine. And
I know. It's all a bunch of wild stuff. You got to watch out because man and his imagination goes to far things. You know.
But the big key, again, is this. I'm trying to figure out another way to say it because, we can do our works in a way, like you said, you've done these great and mighty things yet. Mm. I never knew you kind of thing. So I'll tell you this.
Jesus said the children of this age are wiser than the children of the age to come. Now, I don't think I'm a stupid guy. Do you think I'm stupid at all? If I'm faking it, I'm fooling a lot of people.
Right.
I think he gave me, my dad was an attorney, so I come from a good lineage. And yet, sometimes I feel really stupid in this world. But is it because I'm a child of the age to come? The children of this age are wiser than the children of the age to come. I'm not naturally, have I lied? Yes. But am I naturally given to deceit? No. I could never be a politician. I'm not cagey enough. I can't dupe people. I can't even dupe myself. I could never have an affair with another girl, even growing up when I was a teenager, because I know that I'd get the names mixed up.
Right.
I mean, I'm just like, so I have this naivety. And then I realized, well, the naivety is also maybe a gift.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a whole different inverted way of looking at things. I wanted to make it. I was first place winner in Nashville's Music City Song Festival.
Nice.
Okay. So I end up leaving there. Now you go, and I met Garth. Now, Garth was there the same time I was. Garth went from eating macaroni and cheese down the street, renting a house, three couples, living dirt poor. Now he's worth over $900 million. Sweetheart of a guy. And so I think, wow, you loved him. You don't love me. Look what he's got. And I think, Rhett, what about one of your gospel songs that sung in eternity?
Mm-hmm.
His pop songs, not that there should be a comparison,
right.
But his pop songs aren't going to be sung in eternity.
Yeah.
As much as I could tell, they're not going to be singing, I Got Friends in Low Places up in heaven.
So
in other words, what I'm saying naively, some of us who might be listening to this broadcast might say, well, he says plainly, you will share my tribulations. Mm-hmm. Jesus said he was a man associated with many sorrows. We only grow in our sorrows. Mm-hmm. I don't even know you that well. I don't know. Have you lost anybody? You lost your dad. Mm-hmm. Has your heart been broken? Because I tell you what, you will share in his sufferings.
Yeah, and he shares that with the disciples in Matthew 16. I call that the midterm exam. So things have been going on. Here we are in Matthew 16. And how are we doing on time? Then he says, who do they say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and so forth and so on. They're picking different prophets, who the crowd says Jesus is. And he turns the question back to the disciples and says, who do you guys say that I am? Of course, Peter the big mouth stands up and says, hey, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And
same guy that's going to deny him.
That's the key, right? So he says, hey, good for you, Peter. You got an A on the exam. Flesh and blood hasn't told you. It's my Father in heaven. You've gotten this revelation from the Father.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts.